If Maccabeus had been on the cruiser's bridge, he would have immediately learned of the accident in the hangar. But here, in the Rapid Conversion's feasting hall, the Jirohane chieftain had forbidden all communication. Maccabeus's pack was about to feed, and that could bear no interruption. Given that the Jirohane chose their leaders first and foremost for their physical prowess, it was no surprise that Maccabeus was master of the cruiser. Standing on his two trunk-like legs, the chieftain was an absolute giant, a head taller than any Sangeli, and much more massive. Thick cords of muscle rippled beneath his elephantine skin, tufts of silver hair sprang from the arm and head holes of his leather tabard. He was bald, but his wide jaw bristled with a terrific set of mutton chops. For all his ferocious brawn, the chieftain showed uncanny poise. Feet planted in a deep lunge, he stood at the center of the feasting hall with both arms stretched out behind him, a pose that suggested he was about to perform an imminent and powerful leap. But a single line of sweat dripping from the tip of his broad nose made it clear Maccabeus had held this precarious position for quite some time, and yet he barely moved a muscle. The eight other males that made up the chieftain's pack weren't nearly so relaxed. Arranged in a semicircle behind Maccabeus, they all held the same pose, but their tan and brown pelts were drenched in sweat. They had all begun to shake, and a few were in such obvious discomfort that they had begun to shift their feet on the hall's slate floor. To be fair, the pack was desperately tired and hungry. Maccabeus had them at their stations well ahead of the Rapid Conversion's return to normal space, and although a battery of scans had found nothing but the Kigyar escape pod, the chieftain had kept them on high alert until he was confident the cruiser was otherwise alone. Such caution was unusual for a Jirohane, but the chieftain's authority over his pack relied on rigid rules of dominance, and likewise he was sworn to follow orders from his own alpha male, the Vice Minister of Tranquility, who had insisted Maccabeus proceed with all possible restraint. When the Jirohane were discovered by the Covenant, they had recently concluded a mechanized war of attrition in which the various master packs had pummeled each other back to a pre-industrial state. The Jirohane were only just recovering, rediscovering radio and rocketry and these technologies' warfighting potential when the first Sanshio missionaries alighted on their hardscrabble planet. Heavy double doors swung open across the hall from Maccabeus. Like the interlocking beams that supported the room's ceiling, the doors were forged steel, streaked with imperfections from rushed annealing. The metal was an unusual material for a Covenant vessel, even one as old as Rapid Conversion. But of all the modifications Maccabeus had made to his ship, he had taken the most pains with the feasting hall. He'd wanted it to feel authentic, right down to the oil-burning lamps in their clawfoot floor stands. Their crackling wicks lit the room with a variable amber hue. Six Ungoy stewards staggered through the door, carrying a large wooden platter. The platter was twice as wide as any of the stewards was tall, and its slight concavity offered just enough support for its slippery load, the glistening carcass of a roasted thorn beast. The docile herd animal was served back up and legs splayed, and even though the cruiser's Ungoy cooks had dutifully removed its head and neck, both of which had high concentrations of neurotoxins, there was still barely room on the platter for a selection of dipping sauces, fatty reductions of the creature's savory entrails. The heady aroma of the thorn beast's perfectly roasted meat set the Jirohane's stomachs growling, but all continued to hold their poses as the stewards muscled the platter onto two grease-stained wooden sawhorses in the middle of the floor's stone mosaic. The Ungoy bowed to Maccabeus and backed through the doors, shutting them as quietly as their poorly oiled hinges allowed.
"This is how we keep our faith," Maccabeus's voice rumbled in his chest. "How we honor those who walked the path."
In a fleet dominated by Sangeli, it was rare for a Jirohane to have his own ship. For that reason alone, Maccabeus had his pack's respect, but they honored their chieftain for a different reason: his unshakable faith in the promise of the Forerunners and their great journey.